Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to week three of Stay Strong. Are you feeling stronger yet? Have you felt the Holy Spirit encouraging you and strengthening you as we've been going through the book of 2 Timothy together? I hope so. In this series, we've been talking about how followers of Jesus can stay strong even in the most frustrating of circumstances, even in the toughest times. And man, if we ever needed that message, it's right now, right? Because we are walking through a challenging season. Life is tough in so many ways. But as followers of Jesus, we believe that our discipleship, our apprenticeship to Jesus, should impact every aspect of our lives, every part of our lives, even the tough parts. And so we're digging into this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to his friend and protege, Timothy, to see what we can learn about how we should respond to this challenging season. And I am fired up about this morning's passage. It is so powerful. Paul and Timothy are both going through really tough times. Paul is in prison and he's about to be executed. Timothy is in a difficult leadership situation that's about to get harder. And in the midst of that challenging season, Paul writes these words that feel to me like a cross between a pregame speech in an NFL locker room and William Wallace's speech in Braveheart right before the battle. I mean, it is powerful. It gets my blood pumping. So get ready to be motivated. Are you ready? I can't hear you because you're on your couch, but I'm going to assume that this is what just happened in your living room. All right, if you've never watched that Braveheart speech, do yourself a favor and look it up on YouTube this afternoon. All right, so here's the question for today. What can a follower of Jesus do to stay strong in tough times? What can we do? I wonder, are there any to-do list people out there listening today? You know who you are. My wife and I are both to-do list people. She's a little bit more so than me. My lovely wife will actually add something to her to-do list after she's finished it, just so she can have the pleasure of checking it off. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a safe place. It's okay. You can admit it here. Well, if you're a to-do list person, you're going to love today's passage because Paul gives us some really specific things we can do in tough times to stay strong. And even if you're not a to-do list person, I hope you'll listen as well because the to-dos that Paul gives us are powerful. He gives us three. He gives us three things we can do to stay strong in the middle of a trial, and they all go together. The first and the third are similar. They're things that we should think about or reflect on or remember in the midst of trials. And the middle one is a little different. It's something that we physically do. So the sermon is going to be a little bit like a sandwich, two pieces of bread and meat in the middle. Two pieces of bread on the outside that are things to remember and that meat in the middle that's something to do. It reminds me of a phrase I hear around the office from time to time. The phrase is feedback sandwich. You know what a feedback sandwich is? We usually hear it sometimes around end of year reviews. A feedback sandwich is when a coach starts out with some things that you're doing really well, and then in the middle gives you some things that you can work on, some areas that you can grow, and then finishes up by talking about what a great contribution you're making and your wonderful potential. Tongue in cheek, one of our employees, one of our staff, Matt Weedy, our creative director, says the feedback sandwich is great job. This is terrible, but way to go. Hopefully it's not quite that bad, but you get the idea. And it's not a perfect analogy, but I think this passage is a little bit like the feedback sandwich. The two pieces of bread are amazing pieces of God, amazing pieces of good news from God to us, things for us to remember and to live in. And the meat is an assignment that God is giving us, something we can do in hard times. All right, so let's talk about it. What's the first piece of bread? The first to do, the first piece of bread is stand in grace. Stand in grace. Look at what Paul says in verse 1. He says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." I love this verse. We've been saying that it's the theme verse of our series because it really summarizes all that we're saying in these first two chapters. Paul tells Timothy to be strong. to stand firm in the midst of testing, to not give up, to not give in. But there's a problem with that, right? At least to me, when I read that, the problem is you can't just decide to be strong. I mean, you can try all you want to, but you can't just decide to be strong. Now, you can give more effort. You can train yourself over time to become stronger, but you can't just decide in the moment to be strong. I mean, if I'm trying to bench press 300 pounds, you can yell, "Be strong," at me all you want, but that weight is not coming off my chest. I'm not strong enough. But it's interesting, Paul didn't stop just with "be strong," did he? No, he continued. He gave Timothy a specific way to be strong, or maybe even better, a specific place in which he can be strong. He says, "Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus." He doesn't just tell him to decide to be stronger. He tells him to stand in God's grace and then to allow that grace to strengthen him. The commentators I read this week pointed out something really interesting about this passage that's not immediately evident in the translation we're using, the NIV. They told me that in the original Greek, this phrase, "be strong," is written in the passive voice. Do you remember what that means, passive voice? Think back to middle school English class, active voice and passive voice. Active voice is when the subject of the sentence is the one doing the acting. So like, for example, Will Hood just crushed that worship set. Will is the subject and he's the one doing the crushing. Passive voice, though, is the opposite. Passive voice is when the subject is the one that's being acted on. So an example of that would be, that worship set was crushed by Will. So when we get back to this verse, "be strong" isn't written in the active voice, it's written in the passive voice. So a more literal translation like the ESV doesn't translate it "be strong." Instead, it says, "be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You see the difference there? Paul isn't just yelling at Timothy, "be stronger." He's saying, "stand in grace and you will be strengthened. You will become stronger." I love those old videos of Neil Armstrong walking on the moon. Because of the lower gravity, every step that he takes just launches him upward like he's an Olympic high jumper. Man, I've always wished I could experience that, because if I was on the moon, I could bench press those 300 pounds. Because when you stand on the moon, you're physically stronger. And when you stand in grace, you're spiritually stronger. When you stand in grace, you find yourself able to lift things that you couldn't lift before, to do things you couldn't do before, to endure things you couldn't endure before. So friend, keep on being strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Keep on remembering the truth of the gospel. Keep reminding yourself that your sins are forgiven and there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Keep on reminding yourself that since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep on reminding yourself that our Lord Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father right now interceding for you. And let the knowledge and experience of his grace give you strength. So that's the first piece of bread. Stand in grace. And now we come to this middle section that is the meat. And I just want to warn you, get ready, because this isn't one of those sandwiches with just a little thin slice of bologna. This is one of those deli sandwiches that they make in New York, kind of like this one, with like 5 inches of pastrami piled high. There's a lot of meat on this sandwich. The meat in this passage, Paul tells Timothy to keep grinding. Do you know that phrase, keep grinding? It comes from the phrase, keep your nose to the grindstone, and it means keep working hard, keep persevering. My college-age son uses this phrase when he's studying for an exam or he's writing a paper. He says, gotta keep grinding, gotta keep grinding. Athletes use this phrase when they're in the weight room or on the practice field. Gotta keep grinding, keep getting better, keep working. And that's just what Paul tells Timothy to do here. After he reminds him that the way to be strong is to stand in grace, he kind of grabs his face mask a little bit and he tells him, keep grinding. Paul gives Timothy three illustrations in rapid fire succession that paint a picture of what he wants Timothy to do. And the three images he uses are a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. A soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. It's kind of intimidating, isn't it? I mean, I'm not entirely sure how I feel about this. I really wish he had picked a Netflix binger, an ice cream eater, and a nap taker. I mean, that is a pregame speech I could get behind. But you know, that's not what Paul chose, right? He chose soldier, athlete, and farmer. So let's talk about it. What kind of people are these, soldier, athlete, and farmer? And these are people who keep grinding, people who persevere, people who work hard. They're willing to sacrifice their own comfort, their own desires, their own schedules in order to accomplish the mission. No matter what happens, they keep grinding. Let's look a little bit closer at each of the images. The first one that Paul gives is of a soldier. He says this, he says, "Join with me in suffering like a good soldier in Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer." So the first thing he tells us is that suffering is part of being a soldier. And then he tells us that a soldier is focused. A soldier doesn't get wrapped up in lesser concerns that could distract him or her from their mission. They have a single-minded, laser-sharp focus on one thing, doing whatever it is that their commanding officer tells them to do in order to accomplish the mission. To get a little insight on what it's like to be a soldier, last week I called up a wonderful couple in our congregation named Max Moore and Mary Devlin. Here's their picture on a recent mission trip to Indonesia with our church. Both Max and Mary spent many years in the U.S. Marine Corps, and they actually met at Amphibious Warfare School. How cool is that? I mean, Joanna and I met in a fashion design class. Just kidding, I was actually giving a lumberjacking demonstration that she was attending, but anyway, no, just kidding. The conversation with Max and Mary was awesome. I mean, these people are studs. I'll be honest with you, I tried to play it cool, but I was in awe the whole time. I mean, Colonel Devlin was a member of the very first gender-integrated class at Marine Corps Basic School. This is her on the cover of Look magazine. And then after she became a colonel, she was assistant chief of staff for all the Marine forces in Europe. And Lieutenant Colonel Moore cleared mines in Haiphong Harbor at the end of the Vietnam War, and he had all kinds of crazy exploits, both inside and outside of a helicopter. And on this Memorial Day weekend, by the way, we remember and thank God for all those who served in our military, especially those who gave their lives. We remember them, we pray for their families, and we thank God for their faithfulness. Well, Max and Mary told me tons of cool stuff, but one thing stood out. Mary said, "When you're in the field and you're going into an operation, every single soldier has to be focused on the mission. All the training you go through," she said, "is designed to keep that laser focus, to keep all your attention on the mission, on the target." You hear it? A soldier is focused, focused on the mission they've been given and on obeying their commanding officer. So how does that apply to civilians like you and me when we go through tough times? Well, as Max said, God is our commanding officer. He's right. As followers of Jesus, you and I have been given a mission, and our mission is to passionately follow Jesus together, to obey what he says. Now, it's not going to be easy. It's not always going to be easy. I love what Peter says in 1 Peter 4:12. He says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you." He said, don't consider it strange. Don't consider it a surprise when you walk through hard times. It's part of the deal. As Pastor Ben Patterson says, a soldier in a foxhole is not surprised when someone shoots at him. He doesn't stick his head out of the foxhole and say, "Was it something I said?" No, he knows he is in a battle and he's going to get shot at. Tough times are going to come for us in our mission. So when they do, don't get distracted. Stay focused on the mission. Keep your eyes on Jesus, our commanding officer, and keep grinding. The second image Paul gives is of an athlete. Now check out what he says in verse 5. He says, similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. Well, what's Paul saying about athletes here? Well, there are tons of parallels between athletics and following Jesus, but the one item that he pulls out in this particular passage is competing according to the rules, or you might say playing the game the right way. To help me understand this a little better, I consulted an expert. I called up my friend Chris Hall. Chris and his family have been attending VRBC for a number of years, and he serves as the college scouting coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. He has 3 Super Bowl rings so far, and I'm looking forward to seeing him get his 4th, hopefully later on this season. And Chris is an expert at evaluating athletes. He does it all day long. And so I asked him, what is it that makes an athlete truly successful? And you know what he didn't say? It was interesting. He didn't say quickness or speed or jumping ability. Obviously, those things are all important and essential in an elite athlete, but what he said was they're disciplined. What Chris talked about was discipline, the ability to know and do what's needed when it's needed. He told me that the best players aren't necessarily the fastest or the strongest. They're the most prepared. They're the ones who have spent so much time studying the playbook, so much time lifting weights, so much time practicing mentally and physically that when the adversity of the game comes, they are ready. They are conditioned to respond in just the right way. Paul's telling Timothy, when tough times come, stay disciplined. Keep working. Keep preparing. Keep grinding. The third image Paul gives us is found in verse 6. He says, the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. The word Paul uses to describe a farmer is hardworking. Hardworking. To get a little insight on what it's like to be a farmer, I called up my friend Dale McCauley. Dale and Lana have been members of VRBC for many years, and Dale grew up on a farm in Arkansas. Here's a picture of him in a soybean field on his property not too long ago. Dale told me that a farmer's day starts the same time that the sun comes up, if not before. In fact, he told me about when he was growing up on days that he wasn't in school, what his day consisted of was milking cows at sunrise and then going into the rice fields and working in the hot sun all day long and then milking cows at sunset and then finally coming inside after the sun had gone. Farming is hard work. And this is the example that Paul gives us of what we should do in hard times. Be focused like a soldier. Be disciplined like an athlete. Be hardworking like a farmer. Like I said at the beginning, this is like a pregame speech, but Paul is kind of grabbing our face mask and telling us to get out there and get after it, to keep grinding. Now, I want to be clear about something. All this hard work, this focus, this discipline does not earn our salvation. It does not earn God's favor. We are saved by grace through faith, not by works. But as Larry reminded us a couple of weeks ago with that great quote from Dallas Willard, grace isn't opposed to effort. Grace is only opposed to earning. We're saved by grace, but that grace should change us. It requires a response from us. See, following Jesus doesn't just mean saying a prayer and then sitting back on the couch and waiting for heaven someday. Following Jesus is a high calling that requires perseverance. If we want to truly experience the fullness of the life that God has for us, if we want to accomplish the mission that he's given us, it's going to require focus and discipline and hard work. So what does it look like for us to keep grinding, to persevere? Well, it's not easy. It's not always glamorous, but it is powerful. To keep grinding is to do the right thing, even when it costs you something. To keep grinding is to serve others, even when you're tired or disappointed or afraid. It's being faithful in prayer, even when you don't see the answers right away. It's being patient with your family, even when they're frustrating. It's loving the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. It's never giving in to fear, disillusionment, or cynicism, but instead believing that God is sovereign, that he's good, and that he's at work right now in ways that we may not be able to see. So friend, when times get tough, when you're facing adversity, don't quit. Don't give up. Keep grinding. All right, so we got the bottom piece of bread, stand in grace, and then we got those 5 inches of pastrami, keep grinding, and now it's time for the top piece of bread. The last way that Paul teaches us to stay strong in the midst of tough times is to anticipate glory. To remember that this is not the final chapter of our story. Right now, our job is to keep grinding. And it may not be pleasant, but it's also not permanent. It may be painful, but it's also passing. Because as soldiers, our battle will not last forever. Eventually, it leads to victory. As athletes, the game doesn't go on forever. Eventually, Paul tells us, it leads to the victor's crown. And as farmers, the plowing and the planting won't go on forever. Eventually, by grace, there is a harvest. All this persevering, all this grinding is leading somewhere. And the place it's leading is God's glory, both in this life and in the life to come. If the meat of this sandwich felt heavy, if you felt like you needed that top piece of bread to be able to handle the sandwich, in order to keep grinding, check out the perspective that Paul gives us beginning in verse 8. I love this. He says, remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. What I especially love is that there's not a period right here, but it's a comma. He doesn't just say, remember Jesus Christ, does he? He goes on to say, raised from the dead. Why do you think he includes that clause? I think he includes it because he wants Timothy to remember that death is not the end. Death wasn't the end for Jesus, and it's not the end for us. Remember what Paul said in Romans 6. He said, if we've been united with him, with Jesus, in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Resurrection is coming. So even in the most difficult days, even facing death, we can have hope because we are anticipating glory. Jesus has defeated death, so whatever we face in this life, we know there's a happy ending coming. I love the lyrics of one of the worship songs we sing. It says, we will not be moved when the earth gives way, for the risen one has overcome. And for every fear, there's an empty grave, for the risen one has overcome. In the midst of tough seasons, we can stay strong. We can persevere because Jesus Christ, the risen one, has overcome. And when we start to get tired, when we start to become afraid, we can look to the empty tomb and be reminded to anticipate glory. But you know, it's not just our own personal future we have to look forward to. God is doing something so much bigger than just our own individual lives. He is in the process of restoring all things, of making everything in the universe right again, of bringing his kingdom. And check this out. Our current difficulties are not a roadblock for God. Tough times may have an impact on our plans, but tough times cannot stop God's plans. Check out the end of verse 9. Remember, Paul is in prison. He knows he's going to be executed soon. He's literally in chains. And what does he say? He says, God's word is not chained. Don't you love that? Paul is literally chained in a dungeon, but he says, God's word is not chained. I may be in prison, but God's kingdom is free and it's on the move. You can take my life, but you can never stop what God is doing. If we were writing this today, we might say, God's word is not quarantined. Yes, there are many who are sick and grieving. Yes, the economy is in a scary state. Yes, we're all stuck in our homes far more than we would like to be, but God's word is not quarantined. His kingdom is not in danger. COVID-19 can't stop it, and the devil can't contain it. As Jesus said, he will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Yes, the days may be dark, but as Pastor Craig Rochelle says, when the world grows darker, the light of Jesus shines brighter. And my friend, the light of Jesus is shining brightly today. These are difficult days, friends, but they are not the end. God is at work, and these light and momentary troubles are achieving for us a glory that far outweighs them all. So let's stand firm in his grace. Let's eagerly anticipate glory. And in the meantime, by his grace and in his strength, let's keep grinding. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the challenging and powerful words in this passage. Thank you for the comforting and strengthening words in this passage. God, I pray for myself and for each person hearing this message. I pray that we would stand in your grace, that we would be covered by your love and your forgiveness and your mercy, and we would be strengthened by your grace. And I pray that we would anticipate glory, being reminded that the end of the story is good. And in between, I pray that you would give us the strength to keep persevering, to keep grinding. May it be so in the powerful and strong name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.